From the heart of our nation's capital in Washington, D.C., bringing compelling interviews, insightful analysis, taking you beyond the headlines and soundbites into conversations with our nation's leaders and newsmakers, all from a biblical worldview. Washington Watch with Tony Perkins starts now.
We meet today at a crossroads of history. Our world is in upheaval. In the Middle East, Iran's axis of terror confronts America, Israel, and our Arab friends. This is not a clash of civilizations. It's a clash between barbarism and civilization. It's a clash between those who glorify death and those who sanctify life.
That was Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu just hours ago at a joint session, historic joint session of Congress. He is the only international leader to speak before a joint session of Congress four times, Winston Churchill being the other that spoke three times. You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins, and we're coming to you live from Washington, D.C. In fact, I was there in the chamber for the speech. The city now is shut down in gridlock because of protests that were taking place around the Capitol. That's why I'm not in the studio. I'm actually trying to make my way back to the studio. But we're going to get congressional reaction to the Prime Minister's historic speech. We're going to be joined by New Jersey Congressman Chris Smith, who will be joining us to give a response from Capitol Hill. And it was not just the House, Senate, and Americans that the Prime Minister was speaking to. It was really an international community. And Israeli citizens back home were watching intently, and I believe the adversaries of America were also watching. We're going to be talking to Carolyn Glick a little bit later here on Washington Watch as well. And of course, the last few weeks, all the attention has been focused on domestic issues, political issues, but we've had some other issues happening here domestically with the hurricane coming through, and we're going to get an update from Samaritan's Purse. Edward Graham is going to join us about to talk about the recovery and rebuilding taking place along the Gulf Coast here in the United States. And then we're going to talk with Travis Weber, Vice President of Policy and Government Affairs at the Family Research Council, as we take another look at the policy coming out of the RNC, the GOP's annual or GOP convention in Wisconsin, in Milwaukee. The policies matter. We've talked about that, but we're going to do a little bit of a comparison to the 2024 GOP policy platform with the previous platform. I think you might find that very interesting. All of that and more coming up on this Wednesday edition of Washington Watch. The website, TonyPerkins.com. I also want to encourage you, if you've not yet done so, download the Stand Firm app. You'll find it very helpful. Not only will you have Washington Watch in your pocket wherever you go, you also will have access to the daily Stand on the Word Bible study and the Washington Stand news feed. So download the Stand Firm app today. Go to the App Store. It's the Stand Firm app. Well, the chamber was filled, the atmosphere electric, as the Prime Minister took the rostrum to speak to a joint session of Congress. Several Democrats avoided the joint session. The vice president was not there. But I have to say it was a powerful speech. I pretty much got my exercise from getting up and down for the standing ovations that the prime minister received. I was in the chamber when he spoke back during the Obama administration. And I have to say, this speech was even more forceful in putting in context what happened on October 7th, why this is an issue for America and not just Israel. Joining me now to talk more about this is New Jersey Congressman Chris Smith. He's also the co-chair of the Israel Allies Caucus. He's a frequent guest here on the Family Research, on the Washington Watch, great friend of the Family Research Council, strong supporter of Israel. Congressman Smith, thanks so much for joining us.
Tony, great to be with you. And it was great to see you again on the in the chamber just a few hours ago.
It was, and I got a chance to speak momentarily with the prime minister after the speech. And you and I were talking, we weren't sure if I was going to make it back to the studio, and I didn't, but I'll get there eventually. Let me get your take on the Prime Minister's remarks to Congress. What were the key takeaways?
Well, one, it was a call to action. It was an expression of gratitude to the American people and to those in Congress, mostly Republicans, but some Democrats, notably, who have stood by Israel. There's been an erosion of support among the so-called progressive Democrats. And in 44 years as a member of Congress, never thought for a moment such an erosion would occur. But it's very real and very dangerous because Israel is facing an existential threat from Iran and from its proxies, including the Houthis and all the others that are, and of course, Hamas, which is the most immediate threat.
And Congressman Smith, he made very clear that these entities that you just mentioned that work as proxies for Iran are not only threats to Israel, but the ultimate goal is America.
He brilliantly made that case and reminded everybody that Iran hates America. They routinely chant death to America. He reminded us all about the hostages that were taken during Jimmy Carter's reign, which was shameful. And of course, they were released when Ronald Reagan was being sworn in, and I was with him on the, you know, right in front of the Capitol because I was a congressman then, and they were released when Reagan came in. There's been a long, long hostility and a threat, death to America. And as he said, death to Israel is always followed immediately by death to America. It's a poisoned, cruel perspective that these radical Islamists have towards America. We are an amazing country of all faiths, religions, people of every color, and that's a lot of strength there. They want to radicalize the world, and they think we're the greatest impediment to that. But they see Israel, they being Iran, and they are so anti-Semitic, it is gross. They hate Jews because they're Jews. I've read the Hamas Charter. I've quoted it on the floor of the House of Representatives during debate. They talk about murdering Jews. They train their children. They train their children in these UN relief work camps. And I offered a bill that passed in the committee to completely defund it, to say, you know, teach them to hate. And when these 4 and 5 and 6 and 7 year olds are old enough, they're carrying AK-47s and delighting in the violence they can inflict upon Israelis. And that includes.
Right. And that's funded. That has been funded. That's been funded by the United States in years past.
The largest funder by far. And Trump.
It was defunded during the Trump administration.
Biden, and he just upped the funding right off the bat as soon as he came into office, despite all the.
Congressman, another point that he made that was at the beginning of his remarks, and I met with him last night, and he made similar comments. He wanted to make very clear that it's not just Israel against Iran. It's Israel and other Arab nations that are facing off with Iran and its proxies. So there are other Arab countries that are standing with Israel, knowing that Iran is a threat. And he made that point in today's speech.
It was an excellent point, and he lauded the Trump administration for the Abraham Accords, which was an effort to further cement peace and good relations between Arab countries and, of course, Israel. And, of course, Iran hates that. They want everyone to be embittered towards Jerusalem and towards the Israelis, and of course, and towards us as well. But it was a great point that he made.
He also was, I thought, very gracious toward the Biden administration a couple of times, pointing out efforts that President Biden had made that were supportive and helpful since October the 7th.
He did do that, and there were times when the Biden administration was. But the problem is that it vacillated. The administration vacillated repeatedly, sending really serious mixed messages to the hostile elements like those people who have attacked Israel and Hamas. And so, you know, when you get a mixed message, your adversary says, wait a minute, Is the Biden administration really sincere? He also made an impassioned view that we need the United States of America to accelerate the conveyance of weapons that they need so desperately to end this. You don't want half a fight.
He made that very clear.
Fight to win, then it's over.
He made that very clear that if you will give us the tools, we will finish this quickly if you give us the right tools. Congressman Chris Smith, do you think that the Prime Minister was successful in delivering the right message?
Well, I think it was a grand slam, frankly. You know, I liked what he said. I liked the way he said it. It was a very passionate speech, but very deliberate. He chose, as he even said himself, he chose his words carefully because he knows the American people do want Israel to survive. Hamas wants to eviscerate Israel from the face of the earth.
Right.
And of course, that's the way Iran feels as well. And that's what they've been pushing forward to for years. So we want to make sure that the greatest ally we have in the Middle East, Israel, which is a democracy, it's a stable democracy, the rule of law prevails, that they are protected. And our weaponry, as he said, I don't want your boots on the ground. We will do this, but we need the tools. And it reminded us of what happened during World War II when Churchill said, give us the tools and we'll do it. And of course, we provided a great deal of assistance to Churchill against the Nazis.
Chris, let me ask you this question, because you made reference to this used to be a bipartisan effort. You've been in Congress for 41 years. And you know there was a time when Republicans and Democrats worked together on certain issues. Do you think that he may have moved the needle a little bit when it came to gaining more Democratic support? I was sitting across in the chamber watching Senator Fetterman and Senator Sinema. And they were both applauding. In fact, Senator Sinema was very aggressive in her applause of the Prime Minister. Do you think he may have moved the needle on that front?
It's a great question. Time will tell. But I think it's reasonable to assume that those who were waffling a little bit or wondering on the Democrat side were strengthened, and their resolve was made better by this speech. It was a very, very pivotal, and I think, important speech to make at this particular time. Unfortunately, the so-called progressives have gone so far. I mean, they are anti-Semitic. And when he called, what has happened in our colleges and universities, including Princeton, and I would add Rutgers in my state and others, when he talked about them as being useful idiots, and that's, goes back to the old Soviet times. He called them out. Amazingly, they are blatantly anti-Semitic. Very prone to genuine violence. It's not just rhetorical. They want to kill Jews, and that's what Hamas has done. And now, when you say we're okay with that, we like Hamas, you're okaying the butchers called Hamas.
Right.
And I also believe, and I say this all the time, the Hamas and those like them are doing a grave disservice to the Palestinian youth. They are poisoning those children with hatred. So why are we surprised when they're 12 and 13 and they're throwing Molotov cocktails and carrying weapons?
Congressman Chris Smith, always great to see you. And thanks so much for joining us on Washington Watch.
Thanks, Tony. Talk to you soon.
My way to the studio. You're listening to a very live edition of Washington Watch as I make my way back from the Prime Minister's speech to join.
The news reflects the world we live in, but it also shapes it. Like it or not, what we learn about the world on a daily basis impacts our thinking, our worldview, and ultimately our action. So much of today's media is built on a shaky foundation that can send us hurling toward harmful ideas and hopeless solutions. Family Research Council created the Washington Stand to be a news outlet that speaks from a firm foundation, bringing you news, commentary, and analysis of what's happening in America and around the world. The Washington Stand is unapologetically biblical and uncompromisingly committed to truth. Equip yourself for the world we live in with a biblical worldview found daily at the Washington Stand. Find us at WashingtonStand.com. That's WashingtonStand.com.
Research has found that there are 59 million American adults who are a lot like you. There are millions of people around the country who are born again, deeply committed to practicing their faith, and believe the Bible is the reliable word of God. But that's not all. They're also engaged in our government. They're voters. They're more likely to be involved in their community, and they're making a difference in elections. The problem is that a lot of them feel alone too. We want to change that. FRC wants to connect these 59 million Americans to speak the truth together, no matter the cost. If you want to learn more about this group and what it means to be a spiritually active, governance-engaged conservative, or if you want to find out if you are one of these sage cons yourself, join us. Go to frc.org/sagecon, sagecon, to learn more. That's sagecon, sagecon, to learn more.
Hi, I'm Georgina, an intern here at Family Research Council, and I wanted to take a moment to tell you about FRC's incredible internship program. This three-month program is both a discipleship and a development opportunity where you get to take part in truly meaningful work and help advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and our culture. This program features hands-on professional experience here in Washington, D.C., weekly biblical worldview training, tours around the district, opportunities to meet some of the country's most prominent policy experts, and more. The program also includes free housing, a meal stipend, and is available in spring, summer, and fall. If you're a young adult passionate about seeing biblical values championed in our country, as a current intern, I cannot recommend this program enough. For more information or to apply, please go to frc.org/internships. Again, that's frc.org/internships. Apply today.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Thanks for joining us on this Wednesday afternoon. A little bit different today. I was at the Capitol for the joint session where the Prime Minister of Israel spoke, and the city is in gridlock because of protests that have been taking place, pro-Hamas, pro-Palestinian, anti-Israel protests that have the streets blocked. But technology allows us, at least in part, to keep the show going. So I want to bring in right now Carolyn Glick. She's a senior contributing editor for the Jewish News Syndicate, a close ally of the Prime Minister. Carolyn, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thanks so much for having me on your program. Sorry that you're stuck in gridlock because of the Hamas terrorists who are rioting and attacking D.C.
Well, burning American flags, here in just blocks from the Capitol. But it's a demonstration of what we're talking about. What the Prime Minister said is at stake here is Western civilization. It's not just Israel they're after, as I was just talking about with Congressman Chris Smith. It's also America. But I want to get your take on this, because it was not just the Congress that the Prime Minister was speaking to and the American people. But there was an international audience, and I want to ask you, did he connect? Was the message delivered?
Oh, he delivered the message beautifully, and I have to say that as an Israeli, he spoke really for over 90% of Israelis tonight. The message that he gave is something that is a message that unifies the Israeli people. The way that he spoke about the atrocities that Hamas committed against the Israeli people on October 7th, and the incredible heroism of our soldiers and of our fighters who have been fighting this war really on the ground since October 7th. I thought it was so pitch perfect. And it was important because we've been libeled, we've been criminalized and demonized in the media, in academia, on the streets, like you're seeing today in Washington, D.C. so graphically. I saw footage of them beating Washington policemen and women, which is shocking. I've never seen that before. But not surprising, given the people, the nature of the force that they've been out on the streets for 9 months defending Hamas. So I think it was a pitch perfect speech. And he just spoke in the voice of his people. And I think that he did us proud. And I think that he also made clear, reminded the American people why it is that 80% of Americans have been consistently supporting Israel and tracking polls since October 7th, and why it is that Israel is the indispensable ally for the United States and the Middle East, both from a moral perspective and also from a strategic one. It was a fantastic address that he gave today.
You mentioned the tone, and I think it was the proper tone. It was forceful. It was strong. It was confident. I mentioned earlier I met with him last night. I spoke with him briefly after the speech today. He was very calm, very confident, I felt, last night going into this, which, you know, Carolyn, I find kind of interesting. When the world is rallying against him, against the Israeli people in some ways, it appears as such, there's great confidence in the fact that Israelis are going to stick together. The Jewish state is going to survive no matter what it takes.
I agree. And I think that there is a calmness to Netanyahu because he understands who it is that he's representing. And he knows just how heroic the people of Israel are and how moral they are. And so even if he were going into a lion's den, you can rest assured that you'll be making, you know, you'll be doing the right thing when you're representing this people loyally. And thankfully, today, the halls of Congress was not the lion's den. He was greeted in his remarks by profound friendship on the part of the lawmakers who gave him, by some counts, 53 standing ovations. I mean, he was speaking for 55 minutes and he got 53 standing ovations. It's really a testament to the, I'll bet you. It was a testament to the depth of the friendship between the American and Israeli people, I thought. It wasn't that they were only applauding him. They were applauding the state of Israel, the people of Israel. And I think the people of Israel felt that as well. It was really a tour de force on his part. It was really wonderful on the part of the people of the audience.
And then I think that's an appropriate way to interpret it from the members that I spoke to members before and after. And I think that is exactly how it was intended to be. There's a great respect for your prime minister because of the courage and the confidence that he has shown, the clarity. But I think it's also a way, and that's the reason the House Speaker invited, Mike Johnson invited the prime minister to come, was to show that the American people do stand with Israel.
You know, it's so important because it's always easier to believe the bad stuff, right? And so when we see Israel being vilified, as Prime Minister Netanyahu said, in the halls of fake justice in the International Criminal Court, in the International Court of Justice, where we're being accused of the crimes that our enemies committed against us, I think, you know, it's really wonderful to see the outpouring of support that Israel receives from the American people through their elected representatives in Congress, because it's not easy to stand alone. I mean, Israelis have proven for the last 9 months that they're willing to do so, but it's very heartening to know that we don't stand alone when we stand, that we do have the American people behind us. So gratifying.
Last question. We got about a minute left. He made a statement that, and I'm paraphrasing, that they would protect Israel, would be on the front line for the United States against Iran, and would not allow them to have nuclear weapons. How do you think the mullahs interpreted that statement?
Well, I think they would have interpreted it in a differently if the reception in Congress had been less warm. But I think that the photo, the image of the American people standing with Israel when he's making this statement is very powerful, and that it's going to be taken very seriously in Tehran, that they have to understand that Israel does not stand alone here. I think it's very important. And I also think it was important when he said that the stronger Israel is, the less the United States is going to have boots on the ground, because you have Even in the Republican Party, you have people who are claiming that Israel is a burden to American national security, and he made very clear that the opposite is the case. And I think that that's a case that is borne out every day, and it was important that he said that as well.
Yes, I think so. I think it was an outstanding speech. I think he accomplished the mission that he came here to do. And Carolyn, always appreciate you joining us on the program. It's always great to talk with you. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me on, Tony, today and all of this. Thank you.
All right, folks, stick with us. We're back with more Washington.
America was a bright light until the culture gave into darkness. But we won't. We're in a battle for the soul of our nation, between right and wrong, between truth and lies. At a time when the mainstream media is blocking Americans from truth, millions are searching for a source of trustworthy news that shines a light in the darkness. At this time of great need, FRC is lighting the way forward. For 40 years, Family Research Council and its partners have stood together to advance and defend biblical truth in government and culture. Between our flagship broadcast program, Washington Watch, with Tony Perkins, to our news outlet, The Washington Stand, FRC is providing believers across the country with news they can trust from a biblical worldview. When you stand with FRC, you help light the way forward for America and the next generation. Go to frc.org/give.
If you're a young adult passionate about seeing biblical values championed in our country, check out Family Research Council's internship program. This three-month program is both a discipleship and development opportunity where you get to take part in truly meaningful work and help advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and our culture. Featuring hands-on experience, biblical worldview training, free housing, and more, this internship is a great opportunity for spiritual and professional development. Check out frc.org/internships to apply today.
As a congressman, Jody Heiss witnessed firsthand how the gradual erosion of congressional integrity has crippled America's faith in its most essential institutions. His newly released book, Sacred Trust, Election Integrity, and the Will of the People, sounds the alarm on the attempts of career bureaucrats to subvert our elections and provide solutions to make every vote count. Help preserve election integrity and order Sacred Trust today wherever books are sold.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. Good to have you with us on this Wednesday. My apologies, I'm not in the studio because I was at the Capitol for the joint session of Congress where the Prime Minister just finished speaking. And unfortunately, the streets of D.C. are in total gridlock as protesters have taken over certain parts of the city, burning American flags and actually attacking, reports are attacking police officers. So we're attempting to make our way back to the studio, but thanks to modern technology, at least you can get part of the program. And, you know, a lot of focus has been on political dynamics. And we had the assassination attempt. We had the Republican convention. We had the obviously the dropping out of Joe Biden in the Democratic as the Democratic presidential candidate. And so that's been like just taking all the headlines. But, you know, we had a hurricane. Beryl. And that hurricane has done tremendous damage, especially through Texas and other parts of the country. And, you know, we like to keep you abreast of that and how you can be involved because, you know what, we need to help one another. And I find it very interesting, the pattern, and I'm not going to get into this today, but the pattern of these hurricanes when certain things are occurring. But our great friends at Samaritan's Purse, first on the ground, helping, working with churches, volunteers to help people pick the pieces up and get their lives back together. And joining me now, Edward Graham. He is the Chief Operating Officer for Samaritan's Purse. Edward, thanks so much for taking time to join us today.
And Tony, thanks for having us on, and I appreciate you highlighting this during this, you know, politics is sucking up the news, so I appreciate you highlighting these storms.
Well, it does, but it's pretty personal to me because I've been through a number of these storms during times when, you know, people may pay attention to it for 24 hours in the media, but then it quickly moves on. So give us the latest of the breadth, depth of this storm and what Samaritan's Purse is presently doing.
Yeah, so, you know, most people are tracking a little bit when it hit in the Caribbean, and it destroyed large portions of Grenada and the islands to the north that Grenada is responsible for between there and St. Vincent, and even hit parts of Jamaica, and then it came up through Texas. But we were tracking, prepped, and ready to go. We sent our DC-8, which is one of our cargo planes, down to Grenada three times, to Jamaica once, and they're delivering everything from tarps, solar lights, water filtration systems, but we also sent a tier one hospital And this is where we were asked to come down and supplement some of the destroyed medical systems down that had been destroyed by the storm. And then we were able to help and treat over 600, almost 700 patients so far, and then transfer them to further medical care, those that needed more serious attention. And then we also have a mobile medical teams that are going around to on these smaller islands. We're using one of our helicopters to get them around. So these aircraft that we have allow us to respond quickly. We also took one of our cargo King Airs down there as well to work these inner islands. But we've been doing a lot of medical, a lot of tarping, a lot of water. But it's really helping these people get out and recover from these storms. And what we're noticing, and there's no one else down there because of the political season. It doesn't get attention. People can't fundraise and go, but God's entrusted us with resources that we can go. And then we responded to Texas. We have over 900 open work orders right now in Texas alone when the storm came up to there. We got a lot of work to do there.
Put this in perspective. This was a pretty intense storm, and it packed a pretty big punch, especially in Houston. There was a lot of damage in Houston.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So you've talked about the patterns of these storms. You want to get into them. This was the first category. This is the earliest a Cat 4 storm has formed in the Caribbean, and usually not this early. So we don't know what the rest of the season is going to look like, but what it did in Houston, they were already saturated with water. That part of Texas has had a lot of rain. Then you bring in this storm on top of it, and there was a lot of flooding. There was roof damage. And so we've gone in there, and this is where we mud out homes. We retarp roofs. We help dry them out so we can quickly get homeowners back in there, but also get through their insurance claims without further mold being developed. But our volunteers go in there along with our Billy Graham Rapid Response chaplains, and they want people to know they're not forsaken. They're not forgotten. And God's not angry with them. God loves them. He loved them so much that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross. And we get to share that message, but we get to meet the immediate need of those that are suffering.
Well, and I know you partner with local churches because our church, when I was pastoring, we hosted Samaritan's Purse for nearly 2 years. I mean, you don't come in and just leave. You stay there till the work is done. But we baptized over 100 people in the 6 months after that, because it's not just cleaning out the homes, as important as that is. It's bringing hope in that time of desperation. So Edward, how can folks find out more about volunteering and being a part of the work of Samaritan's Purse?
Yes, sir. I appreciate it. You can go to samaritanspurse.org, and it'll say how to get involved. And you can do a drop-down menu, and it'll show just the locations in the United States. We need volunteers. We're in other locations up in Minnesota. We're still in Arkansas, but we're in about four different locations there. And also to see how you can get involved internationally on our disaster assistance response teams. But most importantly, pray. These are locations that you can pray for. I covet. We need your prayers. And I'm a firm believer in the power of prayer.
That's right. Pray, but you can also give and you can go. So how can people give financially? If they can't go, how can they give?
Yeah, sir. They can, same website on samaritanspurse.org. It'll say how to be able to give and what you want to give towards, if that's what you feel called to. But I just ask your listener, I'd really like to have your volunteer time and those prayers. So we just need the volunteer, especially in the Texas area. We got a lot of work orders to go. So if you got listeners down there or people that want to travel, we're partnering there in Angleton, Texas, and it'll show you how you can sign up and go there.
And folks, I'm going to tell you, it'll be time well spent. They're highly organized. You won't waste any time, and you will be blessed by the experience. Edward Graham, always great to talk with you, and thanks again for the great work that Samaritan's Purse does.
And Tony, thank you, and we appreciate all you do to share the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world and to fight it and save and preserve that opportunity here in this country. Thank you.
Amen. All right, folks, stick with us. We're coming back with more Washington Watch after this break. Hopefully, I'll get to the studio. Maybe. We'll see.
The news reflects the world we live in, but it also shapes it. Like it or not, what we learn about the world on a daily basis impacts our thinking, our worldview, and ultimately our action. So much of today's media is built on a shaky foundation that can send us hurling toward harmful ideas and hopeless solutions. Family Research Council created the Washington Stand to be a news outlet that speaks from a firm foundation, bringing you news, commentary, and analysis of what's happening in America and around the world. The Washington Stand is unapologetically biblical and uncompromisingly committed to truth. Equip yourself for the world we live in with a biblical worldview found daily at the Washington Stand. Find us at WashingtonStand.com. That's WashingtonStand.com.
America was a bright light until the culture gave into darkness. But we won't. We're in a battle for the soul of our nation, between right and wrong, between truth and lies. At a time when the mainstream media is blocking Americans from truth, millions are searching for a source of trustworthy news that shines a light in the darkness. At this time of great need, FRC is lighting the way forward. For 40 years, Family Research Council and its partners have stood together to advance and defend biblical truth in government and culture. Between our flagship broadcast program, Washington Watch, with Tony Perkins, to our news outlet, The Washington Stand, FRC is providing believers across the country with news they can trust from a biblical worldview. When you stand with FRC, you help light the way forward for America and the next generation. Go to frc.org/give.
If you're a young adult passionate about seeing biblical values championed in our country, check out Family Research Council's internship program. This three-month program is both a discipleship and development opportunity where you get to take part in truly meaningful work and help advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and our culture. Featuring hands-on experience, biblical worldview training, free housing, and more, this internship is a great opportunity for spiritual and professional development. Check out frc.org/internships to apply today.
As a congressman, Jody Heiss witnessed firsthand how the gradual erosion of congressional integrity has crippled America's faith in its most essential institutions. His newly released book, Sacred Trust, Election Integrity, and the Will of the People, sounds the alarm on the attempts of career bureaucrats to subvert our elections and provide solutions to make every vote count. Help preserve election integrity and order Sacred Trust today wherever books are sold.
Welcome back to Washington Watch, and we made it into the studio. All right, thanks for sticking with us. Crazy day. Again, great speech by the Prime Minister of Israel to a joint session of Congress, but the city is in gridlock with protests taking place around various parts of the city. And so anyway, we're gonna have more coverage of that. But I want to go now to another issue. You know, the dust, or confetti in this case, has begun to settle from the Republican convention in Milwaukee. And some folks are actually starting to take a look at the changes in the GOP priorities. And they're starting to ask questions. The Family Research Council has a new publication showing just what was changed when it came to the Republican Party platform. Right? And we're going to talk about that. We're also going to talk about a new ad that is playing in the state of Tennessee, drawing attention to the role that Senator Marsha Blackburn played in weakening the party's platform on life, marriage, Israel, to name a few issues. Joining me now to talk about this comparison of not between the Republican and the Democrat platform, but the Republican and the Republican platform, what the Republican platform used to say and what it says today. Now, you know, some are just looking at it in, you know, to the 2024 version, it's not strong, but when you look at it in the context of what it has said in the past when it comes to life, marriage, family, gender, Israel, it's a big difference. Join me now to talk about this is the Vice President of Policy and Government Affairs here at the Family Research Council, Travis Weber. Travis, thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you, Tony.
All right, so let's talk a little bit about this new publication. First, where can folks find it before we go to the content? Where can they find it?
And we can go to TonyPerkins.com and find that it'll be linked there.
All right, so it is a comparison that compares previous platforms with the 2016, 2020 platform with the 2024 platform. Let's talk about some of the issues that it looks at.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Tony, I'm looking at it right here in front of me, and we have categorized the issue area that we're focused on. So we cover how God is mentioned and appealed to and referenced in the document. We look at the issue of life, marriage, family, sexuality, Israel, religious freedom, and then related issues. We've covered international religious freedom, some of the other issues around education human sexuality. So you'll find that it's categorized based in those areas.
Let's break this down for just a moment. I want to take these one at a time. I want to start with the issue of God. All right. Now, this is not an insignificant issue because in 2016, 2020, God is referenced 15 times in the platform as the author of our rights, our freedoms. In the 2024, God is identified actually just an adjective, God-given rights. So that's a significant deviation from a recognition of where our rights come from.
It is. And we have what is the difference, folks might ask? Well, there's a shift in the number of times God is referenced. We have to take into account how long the platform is overall, but one can still have an overall impression as well. So there's a shift in the number of times and how God is appealed to or referenced. In 2016, there was a reference to the Declaration of Independence and inalienable rights, natural and God-given rights that were very clearly mentioned. And in 2024, there is only one reference to our rights under God. So it's a reduction in the prevalence, a number of times of something being mentioned and how it is mentioned. That is we're looking at in the comparison here.
All right, Travis Weber, let's go to the other issue that's quite big for us here at the Family Research Council, and I think quite significant because for 40 years, the Republican Party has championed the unborn, the right to life, the sanctity of human life. And that's a big issue because it was an aspirational goal. I think it led to the overturn of Roe. It also was a bridge for many, many Christians into the political arena to get involved because the Republican Party made that a priority. How does that compare with past to what we have today in the 2024 platform?
Yeah, so if we look at 2016, 2020, a number of references to life, almost all of those are taken out. And in 2024, there's one reference to life, and it is significantly reduced from 2016-2020. Tony, one of the most significant changes here, in 2016, we had language that read that we support legislation to make clear that the 14th Amendment's protections apply to children before birth. 2024 says we believe that the 14th Amendment to the Constitution of the United States guarantees that no person can be denied life or liberty without due process, and that states are therefore free to pass laws protecting those rights. That makes no reference to the unborn being protected under the 14th Amendment. Right. Someone could say that includes it, but that language does not include it. And someone can also say it does not, that reference does not include the unborn. So the unborn are not specifically mentioned as included under the 14th Amendment in the 2024 language.
In the 2024 language where it states that we believe the 14th Amendment, applies to the states and that no person can be denied life or liberty, that's a restatement of the obvious. I mean, that's what the 14th Amendment is there for. What is missing, as you pointed out, which has been there in the past, is its application to the unborn.
That's exactly right. So that shift, we must not paper over that shift. People dealing with this topic and looking at the differences between these platforms have to confront this reality. They might not like confronting it, but they have to confront the reality that this difference is there in the 2016 to 2024 GOP platforms. Tony, a number of other life-related provisions have been removed, including funding or defunding of abortion and provisions that bar taxpayer dollars from going to fund abortions at home, including Planned Parenthood, or abroad. This should be a no-brainer. Nobody should want their taxpayer dollars going to fund this controversial, barbaric procedure. And we need to have moral clarity on that. The United States should not be promoting that as a government policy using our tax dollars at home or abroad. Yet the 2024 platform does not deal with that.
Now, what about the issue, and this is something that has been hard fought in years past, and that is the harvesting of embryos for the purpose of experimentation. This is something going back even to the George W. Bush years, where we had to fight to make sure that we weren't using these frozen embryos for experimentation. I didn't see that in this platform. In fact, in this platform, it actually embraces IVF, which is fine, but there's no boundaries, no barriers, and that could open wide up this experimentation once again of human embryos.
That's correct. And the language in 2024 reads, we will oppose late-term abortion while supporting mothers and policies that advance prenatal care, access to birth control, and IVF, parentheses, fertility treatments, end parentheses. So there's no guardrails. It doesn't protect those unborn babies from policies or actions of those who would pursue those processes and destroy unborn life. A previous platform had recognized that harm. And so that is an area of difference on the life issue. And again, Tony, we've only been covering the life issue in this recent discussion you and I have been having, discussing the differences from 2016, 2020 to the 2024 platform. We cover a lot of other areas in this document. Some of them we have to recognize. You know, 2024 includes language that is broadly similar or similar in terms of its policy position to 2016 and 2020, but there are significant differences. So we've been talking about the differences. The resource covers the similarities and the differences. Other areas that were in 2016, 2020, like international religious freedom, the role of human rights advocacy around the world, not mentioned at all in 2024. Those were mentioned in 2016 and 2020. And so folks can go to the document, though, and see all that for themselves.
So one last policy, and then I want to ask you some other questions. What about the issue of marriage?
Yeah, so if we look at the marriage provision, we find in 2016, 2020 that there's a definition of marriage and affirms it's between one man and one woman, reading the cornerstone of the family is natural marriage, the union of one man and one woman. 2024 says Republicans will promote a culture that values the sanctity of marriage, the blessings of childhood, the foundational role of families. We will end policies that punish families. So there's an affirmation of families, but there's not a definition of marriage between one man and one woman. That is a change, and that will allow loophole and leeway for people who want to define or try to define marriage as between individuals other than one man and one woman.
Well, and this would allow, I mean, that could even be a big open door to what we've been fighting in these sexual orientation, gender identity laws that are going into various states and jurisdictions. If you can't define marriage and family, I mean, words matter. Definitions are important when you get into public policy. So let me just ask you this question, because some people are saying, well, you know, what difference does it make? It's a platform. Who cares? Nobody reads it. I hear that all the time. So tell me, why does this matter?
Yeah, I mean, I think this matters because it's the foundational policy document that the Republican Party is now putting forward, or at least should be a foundational policy document. In theory, it's supposed to guide the direction of the party. And so we're observing a trajectory here, Tony. You've been discussing movement and change of policy positions in this document in some areas, not every area, but in some areas. And so we, as Christians looking at this, we need to ask, how does it line up with our Christian faith? So we say some of these areas line up, others do not. And we're concerned about those areas that are not lining up as Christians. We are looking to Scripture. We're looking to our faith to guide a perspective of society that includes the most blessing, the most flourishing for all human beings. And so it's important because it's guiding a major political party in America. And as believers, we should be able to have a perspective on that in terms of how it lines up with Scripture or it doesn't.
Right.
And we also need to understand what Scripture says about these issues, and it speaks to them. It speaks to God being the creator of the universe, human life, marriage, family, us being created male and female, the role of Israel in the world, freedom, and a number of other issues. And so these are things we need to be concerned about, to ascertain, to determine how what's developing, and to pray into them and be God's right. representatives and where
these,
we're placed.
And they follow these platforms. 80% of the times, the parties actually follow what they write down in these platforms as their priorities. And so it does guide the guides the parties. This is what policy will be looking at. So I think we do need to pay close attention to this. Now, we're almost out of time here, Travis. I want to ask you one more question, because you watched the process by which this was made. I want to play a clip of the vice presidential nominee, J.D. Vance, and what he had to say at the convention. Play clip number 7.
My message to my fellow Americans, those watching from across the country, is shouldn't we be governed by a party that is unafraid to debate ideas and come to the best solution? That's the Republican Party of the next 4 years, united in our love for this country and committed to free speech and the open exchange of ideas.
All right. Now, J.D. Vance was not there, so just want to be very clear. He was not at the platform committee meeting. But I want to ask you, you were sitting in the back of the room. You were one of the few that they allowed in besides the delegates like myself. Is that what guided the Republican Party when they adopted this platform?
No. What we saw going on in that room was very inconsistent and at odds with what J.D. Vance, the potential vice president, just articulated about the way we should proceed, which I agree with him. We should proceed in view of free and open debate, unafraid of ideas, willing to engage them, because we believe our ideas are the best for the country and for those around us. So that is a positive vision, but what he just articulated was not on display that Monday in Milwaukee, Tony. We saw a fear of ideas, a desire to stifle, not hear about ideas, and suppress the messenger rather than deal with the idea. That is not the right way ahead for the country at any level of government, and certainly not for a party that would want to embrace the free and open debate of ideas.
Yeah, in fact, there was no discussion and there were no amendments, first time ever that had occurred. And as a result, the chairman of the platform committee was Senator from Tennessee, Senator Marsha Blackburn. And folks, we need you to weigh in with her. And the Faith, Family, and Freedom Fund is actually airing an ad in Tennessee, and I want you to hear it. Play the ad that's airing in Tennessee. Friends, do you know that your Senator Marsha Blackburn led the secretive effort to weaken the Republican Party's long-standing pro-life platform? She led the effort to weaken the party's stand on marriage, reduce God to an adjective, weakened the stand for Israel, and walked away from your Second Amendment rights. Call Senator Blackburn at 629-800-6600 and ask her why she led this secretive effort. Call her at 629-800-6600.
Faith, Family, Freedom Fund paid for and is responsible for the content of this advertising, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. FaithFamilyFreedom.org.
Folks, we're going to hold the Republican Party to their commitment to allow the free exchange of ideas and debate. And it's important that we not go silent. We're not going to let the left take our voice, and we're not going to let the right take our voice. We're going to speak up, and we're going to speak truth. And I need you to help me. If you live in Tennessee, give Marsha Blackburn a call, 629-800-6600, and ask her why she led this effort. Travis Weber, thanks so much for joining us. Always great to see you here on Washington Watch.
Thank you, Tony.
And, folks, you can get a copy of the document and see it for yourself. Go to TonyPerkins.com and you can download it. All right, it's been a crazy day here in our nation's capital, but thanks for sticking with us here on Washington Watch. And until next time, let me encourage you to pray. Let me encourage you to vote. And let me encourage you to continue standing for truth and standing with us as we do so. And I also leave you with the encouraging words the Apostle Paul found in Ephesians 6, where he says, you've done everything you can do when you prayed, prepared, and taken your stand. By all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is brought to you by Family Research Council and is entirely listener supported. Portions of the show discussing candidates are brought to you by Family Research Council Action. For more information on anything you heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com.